This is the Flow of Innovation, Advancing Waterworks, where we help you stay ahead in the ever-evolving industry of water, wastewater, and stormwater management. Brought to you by Ferguson Waterworks.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Ben Miller. In today's episode, we're exploring how virtual design and construction, better known as VDC, is changing the way infrastructure projects are designed, coordinated, and delivered. With digital modeling, early clash detection, and real-time collaboration, teams can reduce costly rework, accelerate timelines, and deliver with more confidence. Ferguson's VDC services are built to simplify complex projects and act as an extension of our customers' teams. Joining me today is Davis Watson, Senior VDC Manager at Ferguson, to discuss how this technology is helping contractors, engineers, and owners make their projects simpler, more successful, and more sustainable. Hey, Davis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. When we started this podcasting effort, you were the first name that popped into my mind. So I'm happy to finally get you on and talk VDC with you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Excited to be here.
Cool. Awesome. Well, to start us off, could you introduce yourself for me?
Absolutely. I grew up here in kind of this Hampton Roads area, worked full time while going to school, went to TCC and ODU here kind of in the Hampton Roads area, eventually went to Longwood University for my master's degree. So had a busy few years there, if you will. But in the industry, I didn't really start behind a computer or in a conference room. I actually started as a warehouse driver. So my day-to-day back then was pretty simple. I was sleeping warehouse floors, loading, unloading trucks in the morning and afternoon, and really hauling materials back and forth between job sites, which was great because I got to handle the product. I was able to learn kind of what everything was and really understand how things come together in the field. That's something I definitely still lean on today. After a while, I took an opportunity on the field layout side of the business. So I was driving out to job sites, setting up files. I was running a total station. I was collecting scan data on some of our larger projects. I was running a rover, kind of a GNSS system. And that was really my day-to-day where I was connecting the dots between design, layout, and product. And so from there, I took an opportunity in kind of a full-time office role, where I immersed myself in sort of this digital environment and started spearheading the growth of a VDC division for a Mid-Atlantic contractor. And so I started establishing workflows, our templates, our processes, really from the ground up. And as the division started to grow, my focus shifted more towards building teams, setting up long-term strategy, and really developing people, which is probably around the same time I met, I think, Tommy Tanner and Aaron Agnew before eventually joining the Big Blue or Ferguson here. And now at Ferguson, I lead our National Waterworks VDC group. So we have teams coast to coast, pretty much all time zones covered, which has really been an incredible experience. And I get to work alongside some of the best teams and associates, not just within Ferguson, but in the industry, supporting projects, nationally. And so every day I wake up, excited to keep pushing innovations and building smarter ways for us to build out there in the field. And it's really been quite a journey from sweeping warehouse floors to, leading this national VDC group. But honestly, I wouldn't trade that path for anything. I think I learned a lot in that journey and I'm better for it.
Can you give us a quick overview of what virtual design and construction is and how that fits in today's infrastructure projects?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that's a great question and we get a lot, believe it or not. But at its core, VDC or virtual design and construction is all about us building the project virtually before it's ever built out in the field physically. So we have kind of that digital versus kinetic element there. So we're leveraging our digital tools, our digital data, our digital processes to work through these projects virtually. So when we do get out to the field, those same virtual parts and pieces fit together the way they're supposed to. And so the thing is, when we bring VDC into these construction projects, we're spotting and resolving issues early. We're making smarter and more informed decisions earlier. and ultimately we're building better and more efficiently. And that's what really makes this space so exciting, because when VDC is done right, it touches nearly every part of the project lifecycle. And as Ferguson, I think that's where we want to be, is at the intersection of technology, collaboration, and construction, where we approach kind of our infrastructure projects today. And so I think that's perfectly where we fit in.
And I think we'll talk a little bit about the evolution of VDC over the years, but kind of I love what you said about touching every part of the construction process. We've got a project in Los Angeles we're working together on now that, you know, your team started at pre-30% design, supporting the project through multiple trades, not just Waterworks. And I guarantee you, we will still be talking, you know, about as-builts and things as the job is wrapping up. So talk about like a project-wide impact, right? That's a perfect thing. All right, let's get back into the questions here. So what do you think is driving the demand for VDC right now? Anything in particular? Is it a lot of things?
I think we talk a lot about what's driving, you know, the demand for VDC is projects are just getting more complex, right? We're dealing with tighter budgets. We're dealing with tighter schedules. We're seeing this growing push for JIT delivery or just-in-time delivery. So everyone's being asked to do more with less time and less room for error. And I think that's exactly where VDC comes in, because we're able to coordinate, we're able to kind of mitigate a lot of those risks and challenges before we ever get out on site. But if we really zoom into infrastructure, I think the story gets a little bit more interesting, because from my perspective, there are two major drivers. And one is kind of the demand for infrastructure renewal. And two, I think, is really the shortage of skilled labor in our industry. And when we really think about it, a significant portion of our infrastructure is aging, which probably doesn't surprise most people, right? But if we look back at the 1970s, we see two acts. So we see the Clean Water Act and we see the Safe Drinking Water Act. And both created kind of this huge wave of spending for water and wastewater infrastructure across the United States. And when we built these facilities, most of them had 20 to 50 year operation lifespans, which is great for infrastructure in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But when we fast forward 50 years, again, those 20, 50 year lifespans, that brings us to today. And so many of those systems are at the end of their life. Plus, today's standards look so much different than those standards from the 70s. We're seeing new regulations. We're seeing higher environmental expectations. And a lot of places, we're seeing a lot of growth in Austin, Atlanta, Denver. We're seeing that rapid population growth putting some more strain on these already aging systems. And that creates a huge problem, right? So what's happening now is we're seeing this massive reinvestment cycle where the government is pouring billions of dollars into upgrading, replacing, and ultimately expanding infrastructure, and is triggering this surge in these projects and in infrastructure. That's great. But what's the catch? There's always a catch, right? So the catch is we stopped and we looked around and we simply don't have enough skilled labor. You know, across the construction industry, we're facing a historic skilled labor shortage, not just by a couple hundred or a couple thousand, but by hundreds of thousands. So we have more projects than we've seen in decades. These jobs are getting more complex than ever. And when we look around, we're seeing fewer skilled workers across the industry to meet demand, which is almost a perfect storm, in my opinion. Because in my view, I think that's exactly what's driving the adoption of VDC is across the broader construction landscape is those three aspects right there. And that's where Waterworks VDC or Ferguson Waterworks VDC fits perfectly, because VDC essentially allows us to coordinate every pipe, every valve, every fitting virtually before material is released. And that allows our clients to be far more strategic with the skilled labor and the capital that they do have, ultimately helping them do more work with the same amount of resources to essentially take on additional projects with the confidence that we have their back. And to me, that's really the power of VDC, is it's just a smarter way for us to build.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, you should have fewer conflicts in the field and you should have the right material on site instead of, hey, we're missing this. We have too many of that. What do we do?
Yeah.
You know, it should be sorted out ahead of time.
Right.
And that kind of gets me to my next question. You know, I think people have been submitting drawings on construction projects since, you know, the beginning of time. Maybe not the beginning of time. That's a little excessive. But, you know, a typical engagement where Ferguson would get involved would be to put together like drawings, you know, at the start of the construction process.
Sure.
Are you seeing more engagement from owners, engineers, contractors adopting digital workflows earlier? Is it still kind of at, you know, and notice to proceed NTP time, or are you getting more involved in projects before that?
I definitely think we're seeing more owners and contractors seeing the value of bringing VDC in at the beginning and these digital tools in at the beginning. During, you know, like we talked about the LA project, during the 30% or, you know, possibly sooner design phase, and it's becoming more and more common every year. And when we bring VDC in early, I think it gives everyone on the team a little bit better insight. And what's great for the owner piece of that is they're getting better transparency because they're keeping up with what's happening in real time. They're getting more predictable projects, so they're getting fewer surprises out on site. And they're getting better information, especially when it comes time to operate and kind of turn the key on for these systems and these facilities down the road. And one of the most interesting shifts we've seen around constructability, that's a key piece in this too, is it's not just treated as an afterthought anymore, right? It's part of the conversation from day one. And that's huge for the industry and for Ferguson too, because when you start thinking about how something will actually be built during the design phase, you start making smarter decisions. You know, we start to save time down the road. We start to save labor costs, you know, all of these savings a lot earlier in the project. And that's really where Ferguson Waterworks VDC's group brings something unique to the table because we're close to products. We sit in product meetings, you know, weekly, if not daily. We know pipes, valves, and fittings and systems inside and out. So when we merge that product experience with the field knowledge, we can spot things early that might cause problems in the field and flag them before they ever become an issue. And so that proactive approach really reduces risk across the board for both the engineer and the owner because it creates better communication with everyone working from the same model, or we call it the same source of truth. And to me, that's really where the shift is happening, is we're not just creating models anymore. We're more so creating confidence that the design is you know, constructible, that the plan is solid, and that the project can be built with the parts and pieces shown. And so I think that's really the power of bringing those digital workflows into the process early.
Is it fair to say that maybe the previous paradigm was, let's plan the work, let's do our, you know, take the initial drawings and we'll do our VE and our constructability and we get through with all that? We'll go, you know, do the coordination, the model coordination, MEP coordination, and it was really the early engineering aspects driving modeling, and now is that flipped where we're modeling earlier and that's driving the construction planning? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and I think a few years ago we're a part of some projects that they call build designs almost. They're design builds or design bid builds, but they call them build designs because we're kind of using that archaic process where, you know, we're just using the 2D plans and we're getting out in the field and hoping that it works, you know. But now we've got these digital processes, and we may have seen that a little bit earlier in VDC, but now that we've got better workflows, better structures around VDC and what that means and what that looks like on a project, then now we're getting engaged a little bit earlier and we're able to kind of see those downstream impacts and benefits towards the end of the project.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a few different ways that you all get involved typically in a job, whether it's a more traditional delivery of let's do some layout drawings when construction starts versus more of what I know you all can do with a full collaboration, you know, aspect. Can you kind of walk through, you know, I'm sure there is no typical engagement, but as far as typical goes, kind of that spectrum from maybe a design bid build engagement at the start of construction versus, you know, full collaboration, working hand in hand with the engineer? What do those look like?
Yeah, well, we get a wide range of projects and we do shop drawings. That's a key piece of it. We do the modeling piece is normally the second level for us, the coordination and even some reality capture scanning with Keith and his team. But I think a lot of people don't fully realize when we jump on a project, how many hands and eyes are really involved in our typical VDC engagement. Because to be honest with you, you know, first when a project comes in, it hits our operations team. They dig into the details. They're looking at the models. They're looking at the drawings. They're looking at the scope. They connect the dots and really talk with those teams. So they're flagging anything that looks off from day one. And second, once that groundwork is done, that job moves over to a VDC manager who pretty much does the exact same process. They're reviewing all the notes. They're asking any follow-up questions. And then they assign it to the modeler or detailer they feel suits that project best. And that's really when the collaboration starts, is because we're starting to work through those modeling efforts. We're working through those coordination efforts and generating those shop drawings or submittals as well. But before any of that is sent out, we also push it through a QAQC team. So they're our final set of fresh eyes, if you will. And they review and mark up pretty much everything. And there's a little back and forth there, which is what we want. We want a challenge from a place of respect. And then once that passes review, we send it out to the internal project team. And the internal project team gives it a final review. So I think a lot of people assume when they're working with us, they're just getting one person or one modeler, or one detailer assigned to their project, and they're just kind of simply modeling. But really, they're getting kind of an entire Ferguson support system behind the scenes, looking at the jobs, you know, digging into all the documents, and the results are usually smoother and simpler on those projects.
And how about when you're engaged even earlier? Do you think it still follows that same model, or is there a little bit more to your involvement?
A little bit. So it sort of follows the same model. You're still getting kind of the same Ferguson support system and team behind the scenes. Typically, when we get into design build with a contractor, we're a little bit further in the process. So we usually have plans. We have a decent set of documents that we can kind of flip through. When we get involved in design at, you know, say 30 or 60% or earlier, it's not as formalized. So we're able to impact and influence a little bit more what we're using on those projects. And we're helping add kind of that constructability aspect of it very early in the game because we, again, we know product. We're very familiar with who does what. I know in some instances, people know who's working what machines at some of our vendors at what time of the day. So we're very ingrained with some of these vendors and our manufacturers. And I think that really gives us an edge on what's available and what's actually going to work out when we start putting, you know, the right parts and pieces in the model into the field and procurement.
Yeah. I mean, having worked with you guys, I can say firsthand that, you know, your team's very much not a group of just modelers, and they've got their blinders on and they take X and they turn it into a Revit, you know, piece or something. It's much more than that. They are talking about lay lengths and, okay, if we switch to this manufacturer, they have a shorter lay length radius or something, right? They're contributing to the solutions, right? It's not just people modeling. It's people who are fully engrossed in the success of the project, which is very cool and very helpful.
And a lot of people, they think that we're simply just tracing over what we see, and that's not the case at all. We're digging into all of those documents and trying to figure out what actually needs to be there, what, you know, and raising any red flags if we see anything that may be even a concern later down the road.
Little things like taking into account the width of a gasket, right?
Yeah.
Like that might not be taken into account in a 30% drawing, right? But when you guys are looking at it, you know, that's the level you have to be in, right?
Right.
I mean, it's got to be perfect, perfect. So it kind of gets me to the next question. When you are involved early, right, we're not replacing in-house engineering design teams, like the modeling team from an engineer. You know, we're, I think you call it more of an extension. Can you talk a little bit about how you position your team as more of an extension and you're not competing or replacing the engineering teams?
Yeah, no, I think that's something we talk about a lot, and it's really important because our VDC group is, our VDC teams are not here to replace our design teams or our friends in engineering. We do work with them a lot, yes, but when we look, you know, in the mirror in the morning, we see ourselves as a partner or more so an extension of their teams. And we're here to really take their vision and we're able to kind of bring it over to the field. And I think of it as engineers create the blueprints and sort of the big design, and then we come in and help connect the parts and pieces. And what I mean by that is we bring the product knowledge, we bring the constructability feedback, and we bring the product installation insights, and we bring all that to hopefully help avoid issues later on. And that collaboration is more of kind of a back and forth, more so than an ownership. So we'll sit in coordination meetings, we'll review system layouts, we'll definitely make suggestions, but we fully respect the design team's intent. And I think that builds a lot of trust in jobs, especially on that LA job. I could think of a few other ones. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want a project that's safe, it's on time, and ultimately it performs the way it's supposed to perform.
Yeah, that's great. I do want to ask you about kind of what I've seen some. And I think maybe this is like the current evolution of EDC, but having not just like a picture of a piece in your model, but it's the actual thing and what you can tag to it and how you can take that forward and to maybe even turn it into like a digital twin for the owner to carry forward. Is that something you're involved with?
Yeah. So all of our mark numbers and our sequence numbers, they correspond with what we're seeing in the model. When we send out a shop drawing, typically our first page has your bill of material on it. And then you have this kind of 3D rendering or isometric view. And really what that's meant for is that's for the visualization portion of it. We have a few clients where, you know, when we send those shop drawings out, they mention that they don't need it. And then we get out on site, it's what's hanging on the job trailer, or it's what's taped onto the inside of a wet well or something else on site is taped up to the form, because that's what really helps bring everyone together. That's what helps everyone kind of align on what it should look like when it's put together. Again, from the lay drawings of putting all the fabrication pieces back to back. And so I think that visualization aspect of it really takes it to another level, especially in kind of not so much in the modeling space because we're all in the digital model, but in kind of the shop drawing and 2D CAD format, it elevates that service a little bit because now you actually have kind of a visualization of what it should look like and what the finished product should kind of fit together, how the finished product should fit together.
But how about like embedded data, right? That is useful to the owner later or the engineer later. Like, I know we don't get into the world of pumps as much, but I would think for like a pump in your model, it could be tagged with maintenance information. It could be tagged with spare parts information. Are we getting involved in that type of integration?
Absolutely. And the parameters, you can put in URLs, you can put in submittal documents. I mean, that's part of, you know, building information modeling is that it's so data rich and there's so much information we can add into that to where, you know, I think on a project recently, we were talking about the installation of the pumps and, hey, if this is going to have to be serviced every so many years, it's going to have to be replaced after this many years. You know, how do we continue to integrate that a little bit more to the facilities operations side of it? And so there's so much information that we can put into these models, whether it be center of gravity, whether it be some of that URL information, whether it be submittals, whether it be just this data-rich environment of parts and pieces. So when we see that transition from construction to facilities, again, it kind of helps them understand their projects and their buildings or structures or facilities or systems a little bit better when they go to operate it and turn it on.
That's really cool. And I see this world where, you know, your model embedded with all this data gets turned over to the owner who it helps them run their treatment plant. And then as they go to their next upgrade, you know, that model is given to the engineer to now plan for upsizing and relocations. And then that model comes back to you to, you know, start modeling out the changes. And it's this really cool, you know, cycle of digital twins. I think that's the right term.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of what Carrie's working on that side of the business. And we see that a lot too. We've got a project in Minneapolis, and essentially a lot of the documents we're getting are from the 20s. So they're hand-drawn, hand-sketched, probably on an old drafting table. And so it's really interesting because now that we're getting in there and we're creating the models for that project, they're data rich and information. So when they go back and have to make those updates in the future, at least they have a better source of truth to kind of go off of versus, you know, kind of the methods of old, if you will.
So of the current things and capabilities, technologies, everything you all are doing today, what is, do you think is the coolest, neatest, most advanced thing that you're like, I want to get up and do that? What is that thing for you today?
It's funny. I just asked Josh yesterday about his view on what's exciting for him and where we're headed. And for me, the VDC space, I think we're at kind of this exciting crossroads between what we can do now and what we can do kind of in the future with technology. VDC is becoming more and more prevalent on projects. I think over the next 5 years, we'll see more integration, especially with those digital twin aspects. And as we continue to see VDC evolve, I think we'll kind of bridge together design, procurement, and construction a little bit more seamlessly. But when we look out at the industry about what's exciting, I mean, we're seeing, you know, autonomous robots and drones. We're seeing scanners on some of those. We're seeing augmented mixed reality really starting to take off where people are wearing a headset and physically laying out projects on site. We're seeing a lot in reality capture technologies and that field technology side. We're seeing model-based procurement really start to take off. Again, that digital twin space. So really, there's kind of this exciting push, AI, if we really want to hit that buzzword. There's kind of this exciting push for what's important to people and where those innovations go. And I think the industry is going to lean a little bit more into those clear-cut kind of ROI-providing technologies first. But when it comes to a lot of the other things out there in the industry, I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities that we can kind of take advantage of in the next few years.
So you kind of like ducked my question and answered my next question, which is going to be, which was, what are you excited about for the future?
Yeah.
But like what today, somebody who's not doing BIM today and you say,
sure,
here's what I can bring to you to make your life better, reduce, rework, you know, make it cheaper, faster. What's your favorite thing of the today world?
One of the things that's exciting for us is we can serve in kind of this one-stop shop service, right? I think when you do shop drawings kind of on your own in your own space, I think that's great. And I think that is an effective way of going about it. But one of the things that's really exciting for us is, you know, our VDC services are tied directly into our modeling aspects, which is a big differentiator from other third parties. And again, we're not just creating a digital representation of your systems. We're using Ferguson parts and pieces. So every pipe, every valve, every fitting connects to, you know, hopefully what we're going to see out in the field and what we're going to see on our quote. And so I think that's powerful. I think that's exciting because so often there's this disconnect in construction between what's modeled, what's available, and what we're sending out to the field. And when material and model are one, procurement comes faster, field teams have fewer surprises on site. And if a change happens, I mean, we're pretty much tied into your Ferguson project management. It's a lot easier to understand the material and the cost impact of the job. Again, kind of making your project simpler. So we get a lot of great feedback on that piece all the time because we've kind of bridged the gap between design and delivery and everyone knows what goes where. And that's where a project really starts to flow. And I think that's where we kind of elevate ourselves versus kind of the traditional 2D CAD drafting deliverable, if you will.
I'll tell you my favorite current trend, which not trend, but capability, which I think is so cool. But and I'd love for you to just expand on our process and the benefits. But the LiDAR scanning, actually going out into the field and developing the point cloud of what's out there. And then but then being able to take that back in and model on top of it. I mean, that's so cool, right? There's, as you said at the beginning, right? There's a lot of facilities that are being renovated. This isn't all new. So how do you incorporate this new technology into an existing project, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And reality capture is a huge piece of our industry, and it's something we've seen an uptick in the Northeast. I know out West, they're using a little bit more. But we're able to take these technologies that are often line of sight, put the scanner into a room or a facility. We've even seen them invert them and put them into wet wells or manholes and capture the actual data that's in that space. And most of them use a time of flight principle where the laser goes out, it comes back at a certain amount of nanoseconds. And when it collects all that data, we're able to take that point cloud data or reality capture data, we're able to put it into a 3D space, and we're able to kind of model inside of that environment. And we can route the piping systems. We can make sure that your actuators are not going to clash into anything. And we're able to kind of, you know, model in that space and hopefully put together a little bit easier project. Because, I mean, again, I think that's all exciting. And I don't think you'll read that kind of on the front page of the Sunday paper. But I think that's a good spot where VDC really shines, because it's in that reality capture scan that's going to save time. It's going to help us avoid rework. And it's going to help us reduce stress across the project, which is ultimately something we're passionate about and what we do in those type of engagements.
Yeah. Really supercharges your ability to figure things out up front.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was a contractor for a long time, and you know, working in existing plants, and you go down into like a basement and you look up at the ceiling and you're like, how the heck am I going to get any type of pipe through here? And, you know, what connects to what? And I think about how much easier life would have been with a reality capture and modeling on top of that would have been very helpful. So, it's something that's really cool. I hopefully can do another one of those projects with you sometime soon. Speaking of projects, what about some specifics? Anything that your team's done that you're very proud of and just an incredible success story?
There's plenty, but I think, you know, we have some pretty neat projects. We do everything from piping underneath roads and bridges. We're doing water treatment facilities. We're doing pump stations, lift stations, meter vaults. We've seen a floating intake structure recently and a couple elevated water tanks or water towers. So we kind of have this this broad net of infrastructure projects. I think one that's really interesting recently is kind of this $500 million project we had out in the Midwest, and it was a pretty complex project. We had a significant material scope above grade and undergrade, which is outside of our typical above grade ductile VDC package. But this ranged from half inch PVC all the way up to 84 carbon fabricated steel. And we had the valve package as well. So I think we were brought in to support the layout and coordination of those models. And right away, we started to realize and notice several pretty significant conflicts. And so normally that issue is not caught until trenches are already dug and we're standing out on site. And fixing that means, you know, some pretty serious rework. But because we were modeling up front, because we were able to identify and resolve those issues virtually, we all made a few small adjustments in our models. Everything worked on site. The feedback was exceptional from the field and engineering team, and everything lined up when we went out to put it in the field. So again, not something you'll read on the front page of the Sunday paper, but I think that's where VDC really shines for us.
Yeah. You kind of covered it a little, you know, earlier, but as far as the future goes, and feel free to expand on some of your
sure.
comments earlier, but like, where do you think we'll be in the next 10 years, process wise, technology wise, like what is this, the vision you have for the VDC world?
Yeah. So over the next 5 years, I think we'll see a gradual adoption increase. Again, I think focused on kind of those ROI focused technologies and adoptions. I think the more that we reduce friction in construction, I think the more we improve project predictability and the more that we can build better together, which is something we talk about a lot here at Ferguson, I think that's going to really help lead this adoption, if you will. And again, we're going to need to figure out how to meet the demand of a lot of these infrastructure projects with possibly less work or the same amount of work kind of in the industry. And so I think for us, that's kind of where we see it going. We've just got to catch those issues earlier and hopefully make everything downstream a little bit simpler on these projects to see adoption uptake a little bit more.
Awesome. Well, there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon, I think, in the VDC world, and I'm excited to see what you all do next. I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
And that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to once again thank our guest, Davis Watson, for joining me and for sharing how Ferguson's VDC services are helping our partners work smarter, faster, and more collaboratively. By connecting design, materials, and data, VDC is transforming how infrastructure gets built. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm Ben Miller, and this is The Flow of Innovation, Advancing Waterworks from Ferguson, solving water's toughest challenges together. See you next time.